This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Amma ba'd. Fa inna khayral hadisi kitabullah wa khayral hadi hadi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sharral umuri muhdathatuha wa kullu muhdathatin bid'ah wa kullu bid'atin dalalah wa kullu dalalatin finnar. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I welcome you once again. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fikum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all for taking your time out on a weekday at different times. Somebody has joined us from London, you would be in the middle of your working hours. Somebody from the Far East or from the subcontinent would be returning back home or would already be at home with your family. And those in the Middle East would probably be returning back from work. Barakallahu feekum for taking time out and joining us for this live session. At the outset, we make it clear that if you at all face any audio issues, you don't need to panic. I'm trying to get this session recorded simultaneously with another camera. So we'll have this uploaded on the IOU's page. Both the versions will be available, the live video as well as the recorded video. So you don't have to worry about missing out something which is being spoken of, inshallah ta'ala. Further, we make it absolutely clear that while we are discussing business leadership lesson from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we make it clear that this short time that we are spending, 15 to 20 minutes at the most, is not sufficient to sum up every aspect from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How rich is the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That if a business leader studies the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he benefits from his life. If a medical doctor studies the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he benefits. If a civil engineer studies the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he benefits. If a doctor, if a medical practitioner, if a nurse, if somebody who is a teacher, if somebody who is a professor in a university, if somebody is a homemaker, a husband, a wife, a child, anyone who reads the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from different aspects will see khair in it, will see barakah in it, will benefit from his life. And one of the most important part of benefiting from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we implement the teachings of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our own life. It's not sufficient, my respected brothers and sisters, that we like these videos. We send those, the love reaction to these videos. It's not sufficient. What is sufficient would be that we follow what is being spoken of. That we actually study the life to bring about a certain permanent change in our life. And trust me, my respected brothers and sisters, each one of us are struggling. Each one of us are striving. Each one of us knows it's difficult. Somebody is striving to practice the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teachings in his professional life. Somebody is striving to practice the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and its teaching in his personal life. We are all struggling. We are all striving, but we are in hope of Allah's forgiveness and we believe in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, we continue striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make all of these ground rules clear when we study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the topic, that is business leadership from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do you define leadership? Let us begin with the basic question. Who is a leader? You will find different definitions, and trust me, some of them are very confusing. I studied one definition which went over my head. But the most simplistic definition that I've come across in some of the management books, and it says that a leader is someone who has the ability to influence you towards a certain direction, towards a certain objective. So we find two important aspects in the definition of a leader. One is his ability to influence who? The followers. A leader is incomplete without a follower. Can you imagine a one-man leader? A one-man community having him, he's the leader, he's the follower, he's everything. So you can't have a leader without a follower. And therefore, a leader is someone who has the ability to influence his follower. Influence towards what? There are many people who are leaders, but they are unethical leaders. They are leaders who will influence people into dealing in haram activities, into prohibited activities. These are people who will engage in extremist acts. And then they have leaders amongst themselves as well. So when we talk about leader, there is an objective aspect to it as well. And we are saying that from an Islamic perspective, it is not sufficient to just be a leader. It's important to be an ethical leader. A leader who conforms to the teaching of the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ is an ethical leader. That word ethical, ethics is very important. We have seen in the professional world, my respected brothers and sisters, how many great business leaders of their times have collapsed. We have seen in the political world how many great leaders have subsequently been found dealing in acts of treason. So, when we talk about leader, we are talking about somebody who is an ethical leader. And today we are discussing the business leadership from the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is he? Who is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He is the one regarding whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a stamp. He has given the mark that indeed in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will find an excellent example. The Prophet is the man sallallahu alaihi wasallam in whom we find an excellent example. So when we are talking about leadership, we're talking about the greatest leader to walk on the face of the earth. The best leader to walk on the face of the earth. There was no competition to his leadership. And that stands 1400 years down the line as well. There has been no competition to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, what I have done for this session is, I have broken down the leadership quality into three aspects. The first aspect that I'm going to discuss now with you is the character of a leader. And we start off by discussing the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any Muslim will say one of the most distinguishing feature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life was that he was as-sadiq and al-amin. He was the trustworthy, he was the honest man, he was honest and he was trustworthy. These are two very important quality of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which happens to stand out till his life and even 1400 years down the line. When critics analyze the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they concede that one of the reasons why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to influence his followers was his character, which was a sadiq and al-amin, an honest man and a trustworthy man. Little wonder that we see in the pre-Islam era, when the Meccans, the Quraysh, were facing some problems, when the stone had to be put back, when the Kaaba was being rebuilt and the black stone had to be put back, and there was a dispute happened amongst the leaders of Quraysh, each one saying that we will put the stone in its place. They involved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dispute. Why? Because they knew that this man is an honest man and his solution to the problem will be accepted by one and all. This reminds me, my respected brothers and sisters, we find from this example that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not part of a problem, but he was part of a solution. This is an important leadership lesson that we take from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that not only there was this characteristic of an honest and a trustworthy man, but he was always part of a solution and not part of a problem. Many of us are struggling with this. Many of us end up becoming part of a problem. Many of us become the problem. But subhanallah, when we reflect into the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that he is part of a solution. He is a man who is able to drive solution and people trust him. People trust his solution. For why? Because of his characteristic, a sadiq and a mean. In our business life, in our personal life, we find people not trusting us. Our employees don't trust us. People who report into us don't trust us. Wives don't trust their husband. And sometimes vice versa as well. Children don't trust their parents' promise. Because they know when the parents make a promise, invariably it is just to make them do a job, make them do a work. And then they forget about it. We see that in office life as well. And I have worked in a corporate world for a long period. And I can tell you that there are some bosses, there are some leaders within inverted commas who will promise you a lot of things. But when the time comes to deliver, they fail their promises. They turn back. They deny it. They bluntly refuse it. But we see from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was an honest man and he was trustworthy. People trusted in the word of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is an important aspect that I want you to point out about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for those of you, my respected brothers and sisters, who want to build in this quality of being honest and trustworthy, and this is a reminder for me as well. As I speak to you, my respected brothers and sisters, trust me, I am not better than any one of you. I'm one of you, or maybe I'm worse than one of you. But I'm going to strive from today to make those changes in me. And therefore, I remind myself, and I remind you, my respected brothers and sisters, that this has to happen step by step. This has to be built in over a period of time. Your honesty, your trustworthiness will not happen overnight. You can't walk into your office tomorrow and think that the whole office should believe you to be an honest man. Okay? Oh, Mansoor Danish is an honest man. I want everyone to think like that. It doesn't happen overnight. It has to be built over a period of time. It has to be built over trials and tribulation. When you are tested, when there are chances that you can sway away from haq, yet you hold on to truth, that's when people will realize that you're an honest man. It doesn't happen that you walk into your home one day and you say, "My wife, from today you have to trust me." It doesn't happen that way. It has to be built over a period of time. So there's nothing to lose hope. The effort or the work begins today. Start making the intention. It's so important, my respected brothers and sisters, that you make the intention right now as you're hearing this video, that I intend to bring about a change in my life and build in the quality that was there in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second aspect which we pointed out in the definition was the ability to influence people. And we have several examples. And the biggest example of the impact, of the influence of the message that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had amongst his companions, and a living example, is you, my respected brothers and sisters. You are an example of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to influence people around him, and how the da'wah, the mission, the word of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the call to tawheed, spread across the different parts of the world. That today we have people sitting in London, people sitting in United States of America, people sitting in Africa, people sitting in Middle East, India, Kashmir, Pakistan, different parts of the world, in Australia, somebody may be from the Far East. Each of you are actually testifying to the impact that the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. That even after 1400 years, there are people being influenced by his message. This is a living miracle of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We said he has an ability, a leader has an ability to influence. And subhanallah, even after 1400 years, people are studying the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are reading the Quran and they are getting influenced by it. What is it? This is the ability of a leader to leave behind a legacy. A legacy by which people read about him and still get influenced. And we have other examples from different aspects. For example, you have these people who have written excellent book on leadership. They talk about how a leader should be positive. And I don't wish to name him. But many of you who read these self-help books would know that there was this man who has made lots of money writing self-help books. He was changing the lives of people by writing books on leadership. And do you know what he did towards the end of his life? He committed suicide. He killed himself. What a bad example. What a bad example for people who wish to look into his life and benefit. Subhanallah, there was a man who lived an ethical life and who lived his life according to the teachings of the Quran. A man whose name was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is our role model. He is a leader who is an ethical leader. We can't find a better leader from him. Go through his life. Read his life. You will find several examples, my respected brothers and sisters, about how he was able to influence people who came in his companionship. Let me give you one example here before we move forward. Upon occasion, one of the foster sister of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Shaima, she was in Medina, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed that she be brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the Masjidul Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Shaima at that time was a disbelieving woman. She had not embraced Islam, but she had heard. And she says to the Prophet, "O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have heard that you are the king of Medina." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking to his foster sister, and look at the mahabba, the love that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has towards his family members, towards those who look at him as leader. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "I am no king of Medina. I am the son of the, just like you are a daughter of a black woman, so am I a son of a black woman. For it was your mother who breastfed me." Look at how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has broken through the different barriers. He says, "I'm no separate man. I'm no different from you. I'm one of you. Rather, I am just like you. You are a daughter of a black woman and I am a son of a black woman. There is no difference between you and me." Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, Shaima became comfortable, and the fact that she was trembling a moment back, thinking she's with the king of Medina, that fear went away. And then they both spent hours talking to each other, talking about how they would spend their childhood, how they would play with each other, how they would try to tease one another. And after this incident is over, Shaima goes back to her village. And she goes back and calls all the women of her village and says, "Oh women of my village, I testify there is no God worthy of worship besides Allah. And my brother Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah." She embraced Islam. What was the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He did not speak about Islam. He did not talk about any of the aqidah, and he did not talk about tawheed and risalah and akhirah. He did not engage. He knew his people. He knew his family. He understood what was the need of the hour. And according to the situation, he responded as a brother. And just the fact that he was there as a brother and he did not behave as though he is different from Shaima, that was enough to influence the sister of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the foster sister. The lesson is that when we are dealing with our followers, my respected brothers and sisters in our office, we must try and understand that there is a group of leader who says, "Respect my chair. You need to respect this chair. You need to give me respect." They demand respect. They don't command respect through their actions. Rather, they demand respect through their words. They want people to keep pacifying them and keep pampering their ego, making them feel that, "Yes, I'm a leader." And you will find such people, such followers will come up to the leader and say, "Oh boss, you are awesome. Oh boss, you're excellent. Oh, what a lovely decision you've taken. Oh, superb." And many of the times, these followers are not sincere. They are just doing it for the sake of softening up the leader because the promotion is due or the end of the year review is due. But see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt. He did not want anyone to pamper him. He did not want to be heard, "I'm the king of Medina." He says, "I'm one of you." And this is the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would deal. Another example comes in my mind, and subhanAllah, this is the beauty of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You talk of fun and there are so many examples, but I'll try to quickly move on to the next point with this. Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes in the companionship of a Bedouin. And this is a Bedouin who comes in companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a miswak with him and he breaks it into two. He gives one of the miswak to the Bedouin and he keeps one for himself. The Bedouin turns around and says, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are you doing? You are the Nabi of Allah. You are the messenger of Allah. Look what you're doing. You're giving me a miswak which is straight, and the miswak which was slightly crooked, you kept it for yourself? No, Ya Rasulullah, give me the crooked one. You are my leader. You keep the straight miswak, the miswak which is straightened, the flattened out miswak, so that it's easy to use." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "People will be judged on the day of judgment on how they dealt with those who came in their companionship. And I want to show to Allah that whoever came in my companionship, I gave him the best." Subhanallah. My respected leaders, my respected bosses, my respected employers, The Prophet ﷺ has a message for all of us. And that is that whoever comes in our companionship, we need to give them the best. We need to deal with them appropriately. And as I share this example, many of you might be reflecting on how you have dealt with your staff. I am reflecting on how I have dealt with those who came in my contact. And we all seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah give us the ability to correct ourselves and become better leader along the lines of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. Another point which I want to point out over here about a leader is his ability to do shura or consultation. A leader cannot be a dictator. He cannot just issue fatwas and verdicts and opinions and expect people to follow. A good leader engages in consultation, and we find amazing examples from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I quote this, I make it abundantly clear that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not in need of any consultation from any of the Muslims around, because who was the one who would give consultation to Rasulullah? It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would get all his consultation advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what was the need for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to seek consultation? The need was that he is creating an example for the community to follow after him. He knows that after he goes away, there will be no more revelation. But how will the community deal with their problems? So there should be a consultation. So the Prophet ﷺ himself would engage in consultation. And we find that he would consult. And I give you two examples here. One is the example which we see, rather three examples. Two from the mothers of the believer, where when the wahi started coming in, the revelation came in, what did the Prophet ﷺ do? One of the first person that the Prophet ﷺ went to after he received the revelation was who? He went to Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, his beloved wife. He went to Khadija and he said, cover me, cover me. And then he expressed to Khadija what had happened. And what did Khadija do? May Allah be pleased with her. She told, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are a man. She started eulogizing the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She started praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for all the good that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. That how he maintained ties, that how he looked after the people who were not wealthy, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a good man, and so Allah will not try to harm him. She tried to not only pacify the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but reassured the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look, the Prophet ﷺ is receiving a wahi. He should probably be going, many of us would probably go to our companion, our friends, who are more learned, knowledgeable. But what does Rasulullah ﷺ do? He goes to his most closest companion, his beloved wife, Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her. You look at us in our life, many of us are struggling to consult with our own spouse. We would probably be, our wife would be probably the last person we would consult. Why? Wife? She knows nothing. I don't need to consult her. That's our attitude. That's our nature. Now we need to correct that nature. Another example we see during the Hudaybiyah Treaty, when the Muslims entered into a peace treaty with the non-Muslims. And we know, anyone who goes through that treaty would know that that treaty was heavily against the Muslim. In spite of that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the larger good of the ummah, was insisting on signing the treaty. And companions, major companions, were not disappointed, but were looking forward for another solution. Let's put it this way. It is on this occasion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees a situation which he wants to come back and discuss with his wife, Salama, may Allah be pleased with her. And then Salama advises, O Prophet, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do as you feel is right. And then he says, why don't you make the first step? Why don't you go and give the goat on sacrifice? You know, the sacrifice of the animal. And why don't you shave off your head? Because they had come to perform the umrah. But now they had to revert back. They had to return back as per the peace treaty. And the companions were not willing to do that. They didn't come to fight. They were not carrying any weapons. They had come to perform the pilgrimage. But now when the situation is a deadlock situation, Salama advises the Prophet ﷺ to proceed, to take the first step. Do as the Prophet ﷺ feels is appropriate. And she says that your followers will follow you. Subhanallah, we see that happening. As soon as the Prophet ﷺ did the necessary steps, the companions followed him. And we know that Hudaybiyah Treaty by far was one of the most important reasons for the Islamic message to spread across the globe. Subhanallah. And even though it was a 10-year treaty, it was only in a span of few years that Makkah embraced Islam and the treaty was null and void. So, what do we learn here? We see that the Prophet ﷺ seeking consultation from his wife. So, many of those who have this male ego, the husband ego, that we can't go to our wife and consult with them with our problems, we find enough examples from the life of the Prophet ﷺ where he is seeking advice and consultation from his wife, like Khadija and Salama and Aisha, may Allah be pleased with all of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. They are our mothers of believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all of them. So, another very important aspect is consultation. Yet another example which we find is when the incident of slander on the character of our mother of the believer, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, happened. This incident of ifk. And we see how the Prophet ﷺ engages, and subhanAllah, this is amazing, he engages in consultation with who? Usama bin Zayd and Ali ibn Abi Talib. And who is Usama bin Zayd? And who is Ali ibn Abi Talib in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of age? They are very young. They are like kids to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're so young. And subhanallah, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not let age barrier come in when he has to seek consultation. So he is not only seeking consultation with those younger than him. And again, we make it clear that the Prophet ﷺ was not in need of any consultation. But this is an example which is being set for the believers, for the community to follow later on. That you don't have to think that because I have reached 50 years, I don't need to seek consultation from those younger to me. Oh, I am a boss in this office and I've been working here for 30 years. You are a guy who just joined me yesterday. What do you know about business? No, that attitude doesn't work in business. And we see from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this incident is playing a very important role, that you take consultation from those who are younger than you as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to seek consultation from the right people around us. Remember that the Prophet ﷺ also said, in a deen and nasiha, most certainly that the religion is about giving sincere advice. So not only should you seek consultation, but you should also seek consultation from the right people. Now, it does not mean that because I said right people, you stop seeking consultation from your spouse and say, well, I don't perceive them as right. No. Your wife knows you very well. You know, sometimes we think that our spouse doesn't know us. But trust me, our spouse and our kids know us better than we think they don't know us. So if you think they don't know you, trust me, they know you much better than you think you don't know them. All right. The last point that we will look at the second last point is the ability to forgive. We find in our business world, when your staff makes a mistake, how do you deal with them? Do you admonish them? Do you use filthy languages? And I have seen examples of bosses using words of abuse, literally abusing the mother or the father of the staff. And when you question them, they have a laugh and they say, come on, it happens in sales. You don't have to get offended. It's cool. It is in. It's happening. There's nothing wrong. If I abuse your father or your mother, don't get angry. This is sales. And what happens is, many of the people working in that culture, and many people work out of necessity, they need the money and they need the job. So they continue working in that environment. And somehow, many of them later on imbibe those qualities. And when they become leaders or sales manager, they repeat it with their staff. How did the Prophet ﷺ deal with those who were in his service? We know that the mother of a companion, Anas, the son of Malik, Anas ibn Malik, she came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, I give my son to you in service. He will look after all your needs. And as Anas ibn Malik says, he sums up his boss. He sums up his employer. He sums up his leader, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for about 10 years. And I made mistakes. And I had shortcomings. And I made errors. But never did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, uff to me. Never did the Prophet ﷺ turn around and say, why didn't you do this? You should have done that. Now that requires patience in dealing with people under you, and it requires mercy and forgiveness and forbearance. Subhanallah, Anas ibn Malik's statement over here, the companion Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, is so powerful. It's a reminder. You can be a leader. You may be a leader, sisters, some of you may be leaders at home, and you may be having maids coming at your place and working. And this is an example for us. We look back at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he is dealing in difficult situations. And he does not turn around and Anas ibn Malik says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never turned around and said, uff to me. He never questioned me when I did wrong. Now, it doesn't mean that when someone does wrong, you don't correct them. But there are different ways of correcting. And this is called hikmah. Hikmah is wisdom, but hikmah is much more than wisdom. It is also dealing with people according to different situation. As the situations demand, you react to it or respond to it accordingly. We see Rasulullah ﷺ doing it. We also see the Prophet ﷺ never let personal battle enter in his relationship. The example of Uhud is enough for us. The battle of Uhud, the man who was responsible for the martyrdom of Hamza, the beloved uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, was Wahshi. And we know when the conquest of Makkah takes place, Wahshi embraces Islam. Now can you imagine the emotion running through the mind of the Prophet ﷺ, that he sees Wahshi. Here is a man who was responsible for tearing out the heart of the Prophet ﷺ. Here is a man who killed, who martyred the beloved uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yet, when he embraced Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not someone who is holding any animosity in his heart towards this man. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never fought personal battles in his life. He never took any matters to be personal. And we find this in examples of the companions as well. We see this in Ali ibn Abi Talib, when he had this duel with Abdul Wud. I'm forgetting his name. I'm forgetting his first name. But Abdul Wud, may Allah forgive me. I've forgotten the name of this man. So when the duel happened, and Ali ibn Abi Talib was being cornered by this man. So Ali ibn Abi Talib, being very swift, he was very soon able to bring down this man. And as he was about to strike him, the man spat on Ali radiallahu anhu. What was the instinctive reaction of Ali radiallahu anhu? How would we react if somebody spits on us? The first thing is we box his face. Imagine you're talking to somebody about Islam, doing da'wah, and some man comes and spits on your face. What would you do? Instinct reaction. Forget Islam. Forget da'wah. Let's do it one-on-one. You know, fight him out. That's how we'll react. How does Ali radiallahu anhu do? He immediately withdraws. And this man comes and says, why did you, oh Ali, why have you withdrawn? Go, you wanted to finish me off. Finish me off now. Why did you withdraw? Ali radiallahu anhu says that till the point you had not spat on me, I was fighting a battle of right and wrong. As soon as you spat on me, you made it personal. And Muslims never harm anyone for personal reasons. And he withdrew from there. So we learn that from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, that you never fight personal battles. And at office places, at workplaces, it's more important that when you find some of your staff being rude to you, it can happen, some of your staff may be rude to you. Don't make it personal. Don't take it personal. Try and understand the situation, and as a leader, come to a solution. Bring him to the same page as you are, instead of making it personal. I know of people who have been victimized by leaders and bosses whose ratings have been made negative or been given low ratings or poor ratings or demotions. Why? Because the leaders made battles personal. Good leaders never make battles personal. They look at the larger goal. They know who their resources are. If my resources are good, I keep it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I subdue my emotions. If somebody tries to make something personal with me, I keep myself patient and calm, and that's why I'm a leader. Alright, so that's an important point that we wanted to make. The last point I want to say, and we'll conclude with this inshallah ta'ala, and that is a leader's ability to influence people and create a generation of leaders and reach maximum results. Now, as far as maximum results are concerned, as I mentioned to you, that the impact of the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that you and me are reading the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world as we are talking today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this religion will prevail over all the other religion. That's the command, the message in the Quran in no less than 3 different places. So we understand very clearly that the leadership quality of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the book that was given to him for guidance, the Quran, has created the greatest impact in humanity. And till today, even after 1400 years of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passing away, there are people getting influence from his life and people are embracing Islam. So the impact of the result is amazing, maximum impact. What about creating legacy? Good leaders create legacy. And we conclude with this, that many leaders, they are astounding leaders, great leaders. But as soon as they leave the work, there is a void. There is an emptiness in the office. And they don't want to create leaders. They want to keep it all to themselves. But the most successful of leaders are those who create generation of leaders after them. Look into the life of Umar radiallahu anhu. Look into the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who were the leaders he created around him? He created the likes of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He created Umar ibn al-Khattab and Uthman ibn Affan and Ali ibn Abi Talib and Hassan ibn Ali and Abdullah bin Zubair and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and Khalid ibn Walid. All leaders in their own right. How did they manage to do it? Because they were being led by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he believed in creating leaders around him. He would send Ali radiallahu anhu to Yemen on deputation. He would send certain companions as governors in different places. We know Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was one of the most successful leaders of the community or of this ummah as well. We know Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. We know Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. What made them great leaders? If invariably you will find that they were attached to the Quran and the Sunnah, they knew the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, and they implemented in their life. My respected brothers and sisters, we must also work not only on ourselves, but if we feel we have reached a level where we are leaders in our workplace, in our family, we should work on creating leaders around us. The child at your home is going to become a father tomorrow. The child at your home will be becoming a mother tomorrow. Should you not be making him a good father and a good mother? So what are you doing to transfer that legacy onto them? At your workplace, when you leave your work or you leave your job and move to a better position, somebody else has to fill in your place. What have you done to make sure that the person who fills up that place is able to run the organization, to run that department as well as you were doing it, as effortlessly as you were doing it? Many of us don't do that. Many of us want us to be remembered after we are gone. We want our bosses to know that, you know what, you kicked me out or you moved me from the department, now you will see my absence being felt. That mentality is not a mentality of a leader. A true leader, my respected brothers and sisters, and we end with this, a true leader is not just a leader at a professional world, but he is a leader in every aspect of his life. He just does not focus on a particular organization. He sees himself as a leader in this life. That Allah has given him certain abilities and certain skills, and he wants to pass on that knowledge. So with that, my respected brothers and sisters, we will be concluding the session. I'm sorry that I have taken a lot of your time. It was supposed to be a short session, but I think I've taken about more than half an hour of your time. Jazakumullah khair for all your patient listening. Inshallah, we will be releasing this video soon as well. Barakallahu feekum for your time. We conclude and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to be good leaders in our own rights. Leadership does not only mean being a leader of a country or being a leader at a professional place. Whatever ability Allah has given you, you are a leader. You have a wife at home, you have a kid at home, you're a leader. You have a person coming at your home, a maid who comes at your place, sister, you're a leader. You have kids at home, you're looking after them, you're a leader. Each one of us have certain leadership responsibility in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to fulfill that responsibility. And with that, we will conclude the session. And I request all of you to visit the website of Islamic Online University, which is www.iou.edu.gm. And inshallah, on our website, you'll find several programs that we have. And we have specific programs on BBA, which is Bachelor's in Business Administration. And that's a program which I am heading. And inshallah, in that program, we have many courses on management and entrepreneurship and business ethics, and I feel many of you can benefit from that. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.